So I've observed a trend lately, and it's interesting to me that so many people seem to be doing this. No matter what their education level is, it seems to occur across all income levels. And maybe this just catches me by surprise because I'm an analyst by trade and I see things that I would have paused, and it makes me just really wonder, why did they do the things that they did? Hey there, everyone. I am Shauna Lay, and this is the Budgeting Brilliance Podcast, a podcast for busy working moms who are wondering why it just doesn't feel like you have money, even though you make a good income. And it's possibly because you have overwhelming debt that's bottom feeding on your wallet, and I've been there. As an IT analyst, I've used my analytical skills to help build tools to intuitively manage my family's money and to help us break free from money overwhelm. And I am here to help you do the same. Because budgeting, it shouldn't be a burden. It's a tool to help better organize your finances, but only if you use the right ones. Today's chat is about some real life scenarios that I heard recently on two money-focused podcasts. Because like you, I actually find it very interesting to listen to other people's money problems. So I'm going to share with you the underlying trend that I found common with both of these stories. The first one was a couple that was featured on a recent podcast of IWT, which is Ramit Sethi's I Will Teach You to Be Rich. In this episode, a mid-20s couple, well, they had a few errors of judgment that led them to being on the podcast and seeking financial direction because they were at the end of their rope. And a few key points that really stand out in this episode. One, they spontaneously decided to get married. They were engaged, I think, for like a year and a half. And then all of a sudden, they gave themselves 3 to 4 months to just turn around and have a wedding. Next, they didn't set a budget and they didn't have an idea how much it was going to cost. And unfortunately, they didn't even have money to pay for it. They didn't have really very much saved up, especially for the amount of money that this wedding ended up costing them. And so they ended up putting everything on a credit card. And one thing that I thought was extremely interesting and revealing about them, and it's probably just because of their young age, they actually assumed that everyone was going to give them enough money to pay for their wedding as a wedding gift. You see, this wedding ended up costing them $45,000. And although they got a huge amount of money, at least according to, you know, the amount of money that I did not get for my wedding, because my husband and I guess you would call it eloped. We had a destination wedding, if you will. Like, we just went off and got married on our own and then came back. They received $15,000. It did help them pay off some of that debt, but it definitely was not enough to cover everything. And then to top it off, with all of the debt that the wedding cost, they also bought a house. The mortgage on this house was much more expensive than the rent that they were previously paying. But the kicker of this story is that both of them ended up quitting their jobs and taking on incomes that were far less than what they were making when they bought the house. So not surprisingly, the house became a burden and it was starting to overwhelm their everyday life. Then on this other podcast, it was the Dave Ramsey Show. Someone called in asking for advice on how to plan for her mother's finances. Now, this was a very interesting conversation because this lady's mother was 70 years old when she decided to go back to school to get a PhD. Well, that was a phenomenal move. But the story took a very interesting turn when this person said that her mother is now 83 years old. She no longer works as, I believe she was a professor at the school where she got the degree from. And so she's currently paying back a student loan debt 13 years later. And she's, once again, she's 83 years old. I wanted to chat about a common underlying theme that I've observed in these two stories, and I continuously observe that there is a huge lack of planning. Because with just a little bit of planning and taking some intentional approaches, when you are about to take on things that are going to impact your finances, they will start to uncover areas where you might be able to avoid problems down the road. For example, if you're going to get a student loan, like this lady who was 70 years old at the time, ask yourself, really, what is the total cost of this degree? Can I afford that much money? How much will my income be when I get the degree? And how long will it take me to pay it off? And then at the end, when you reflect upon that, really ask yourself, can I afford then to get this degree? You know, some people, they navigate life based on emotions. And I know it isn't fun to be that sounding board that says, hey, take a look at what that's going to cost you in the long run. I know that that person is never popular, but you have the daughter of this person calling into a show asking, what am I going to do with my mother's student loan if something were to happen to her now that she's 83? The lady was really worried that she was going to have to take on her mother's student loan debt. These are not questions that we should be having at 83 years old. Now, back to the newly married couple. If they would have just taken a moment and really kind of calculated with a calendar budget, what will quitting our jobs and taking time off and then eventually getting a lower paying job, what will that do to our finances? Will we be able to cover all of our bills and still have a life? How will this change our lifestyle? And is this the way we want to live? And if so, how long is it sustainable? I mean, really, if you need to be honest about these changes, are you okay with having no vacations, not being able to have money for extra purchases, not being able to spontaneously go and do things with friends and family and just have fun? And also on to the point where this couple, when they were getting married, and they actually thought that the wedding guests were going to fund their $45,000 wedding. In no way should you count your chickens before they hatch. You're really just setting yourself up for failure. And then what's the backup plan? What's going to pull you out of that if it didn't work out? I've actually done this a time or two in my life, but on a much smaller scale. I've learned my lesson that some things, even though you think they're a sure thing, they don't always pan out. And my sure thing was a promotion increase in pay. Always in the previous years, they happened around the June timeframe. Well, when it was time for me to receive a promotional increase, it didn't happen until much later in the year, around September. So even though you think things are sure things, they may not always pan out. So intentional planning for things that impact your finances, I'm talking houses, cars, careers, shoot, even having a pet, even that decision can be hugely impactful to your finances. I remember when my husband came home one day with a puppy, and I will admit, she was the best dog we ever had in our family. But boy, were we not prepared for the amount of money that this dog cost us, primarily because she required grooming. Before this dog, I've never had a dog that needed to go to a groomer. I've always had short-haired dogs. When I combine all of the costs on an annual basis for her, like food, vet, grooming, toys, bedding, everything, probably we spent maybe $200 or more per month. And if you just think of where your finances are right now and then say, well, Is $200 a month feasible in the budget that we have? Well, if we would have taken the time to do that back then, and the growing family that we had, she was really a budget buster, unfortunately. We had to make sacrifices and huge adjustments in order to make that happen. You really just need to pay close attention to things that are going to add to your budget. Really take time to research, look into the cost. There's so much information out there available to you. Talk to family, talk to friends, go on forums. You shouldn't be blindsided by any of the costs unless you aren't calendar budgeting, which, by the way, I am working on a calendar budgeting foundations template, and it'll be available soon. And with this tool, you'll be able to forecast your family's finances 3 to 5 years out if all of your expenses stay relatively the same from month to month. With this template, you'll be able to see what your finances look like once all of your bills are paid off and see how much money your bank account will grow. It can also help you if you're thinking about going from 2 incomes down to 1. Calendar budgeting can help to ensure that your finances can sustain that. In fact, this is exactly the way my family was able to go from 2 incomes down to 1 after my husband unexpectedly got cancer years ago, and then he became a stay-at-home dad. My calendar budgeting foundations template can help you manage your money or forecast whether or not you could afford a new car, take on a new mortgage. No more surprises. It's time to reimagine budgeting. I actually like to think of this as a no budgeting way to budget because of the way that calendar budgeting operates. It's not your usual income minus expenses. It's just more intuitive to life. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, just stay tuned. There'll be more information coming. But meanwhile, you can start getting your feet wet with my calendar budgeting starter kit. Check out the show notes for the link to the site. Until next time, please take a quick pause and think more intentionally before taking on something that can impact your budget. And don't forget to go get the calendar budgeting starter kit so that you can continue to budget brilliantly. Take care.